From trials to triumph, my testimony. And we're going to begin reading from the book of Joshua, and we're going to read 1 through 9, and then we're going to drop down verses 20 through 24 for the sake of time. But if you would just open your Bibles and follow along, one of these Sundays, when we get back, we're going to have a bring your own Bible to church. Everybody bring a hard copy. See, we'll find out how many hard copies of the Bible we have. It'd be good to hear those pages turning once again. So we'll have a bring. You know, they did that at the public school last week or 2 weeks ago. They had a bring your Bible to school. And I thought that was great. I thought, you know what? It's sad to say we need to have a bring your Bible to church Sunday. Amen. All right. Joshua 4, if you found verse 1, shout amen. If you're still looking, say, Jesus, help me. You just have to catch up. I will try to be cool, calm, and collected as I read, but I don't promise when I start preaching. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them, take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' testify." That's my words. When your kids ask, "What is this memorial? What is this all about?" testify. He says, tell them. That's what a testimony is. We are telling somebody what the Lord has done. Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These are the stones to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. How many knows you don't lose your testimony? Somebody said, "Well, my testimony happened 30 years ago." Shout it from the rooftop. Your testimony never gets old. If it gets old to anybody, it might get old to you, but it don't get old to the person that's listening. All right. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, and as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over to their camp where they put them. Do you know that one of the greatest weapons that we have is our testimony? That's a weapon in your arsenal. Amen. That is a weapon that God has given you. All right, let's go on. Verse 9. Joshua set up the 12 stones that he had that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. Remember now, they took 12 stones from the river. They put them where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then they took the 12 stones, and they made a memorial on dry ground. And it says here that they are there to this day. And Joshua, I think this is the where we drop down, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea.'" You understand that? Sometimes God will do these miracles over and over and over. We have these testimonies that we need to be telling over and over. We need to have some new testimonies as well. Amen. "And God dried up the Red Sea when our fathers crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful." Not how great you are, but how great the hand of the Lord is. Not how hard you prayed to get your miracle, but how wonderful and how strong the hand of the Lord is. "So that you might always fear the Lord your God. So the story is simply this. God said, Joshua, choose 12 men, take them out. As the priest stepped into the water backed up, it dammed up, and the Bible said they walked over on dry ground. That's a miracle, because how many knows that waterbed had been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, but it was dry ground when they walked over. And he said, now you go pick up 12 stones. Now these weren't little pebbles that roll in the water, okay? This was 12 big stones. They had to carry them on their shoulder. But he said, stand them around the Ark of the Covenant. Put that in there as a sign. And then later on, he said, now I want you to take 12 stones and put them over here where we're going to be camping at, and you take those stones and set it up as a memorial. Everybody say a memorial. You know what a memorial is? Something that you remember. Have y'all seen the wall of Vietnam? That's that great wall with all those names on it. That's a memorial to those that died in the service. Amen. Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial. Those are all memorials to what somebody has done. And he said, you remember and tell your children what great things God has done. What have you been telling your children? What have you been talking about around your house? What are you telling the kiddos? How great God is, or how big the Goliath is in your life? He said, these stones are to become pillars of testimony. You have a story to tell. Come on, don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. I'm telling you, you've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell. It's called a testimony. You know why the word testimony, you know why that word test is in there? Because you had to have the test before you got the money. Some people have camped out on the monies. They just moan day and night, moan and moan and groan. Listen, it's time to get out of the moanies and start giving the testimony. How good God has been. Amen. Ooh, he's going to be good this morning. Get ready, get ready, get ready. So Revelation 12:11 is it's very familiar to us around here. It is as they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever think that your testimony is not important. Your testimony may not be as big as somebody else's, but everybody's testimony is good. Everybody's testimony is, somebody needs to hear your testimony. What has God done for you? That's all a testimony is. You don't even have to give a bunch of Bible verses. Just tell what God has done for you. Some of you aren't overcoming today because you're not sharing your testimony. Well, I'm just not a preacher. God didn't ask you to be a preacher. He said, share your testimony. Has God been good to you one time? Share your testimony. Psalms chapter 3 that Alex just read a moment ago. What a powerful verse. Oh, how they are increased that trouble me. But my God laid me down and I slept, and he gave me a good night's rest. Let me share it. Let me share with you how great my God is. Don't ever think that your testimony is too small. We're not sharing our testimony against the three Hebrew children who went into the fiery furnace. We're sharing our testimony about what God did for me. And if he saved you, you're on the right road. I'm telling you something, honey. You've got a testimony. You've got something to tell others about the love of God. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we're more than a conqueror. You can testify about that. You can testify that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It doesn't mean you're not going through anything. It just declares that it's not going to prosper. It's not going to win over you. Is this okay today? Shall I continue? You see, sometimes in our testimony, all we talk about is what we came through. But your testimony is not about you. Your testimony is about what God did for you. Sometimes we think our testimony is all about, I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I was this, and I was doing that, and I got set. Listen, it's not about I. Your testimony is about the goodness of God and what he's done for you, what he's brought you through, and where he's taken you. Woo, come on. Thank you for that silent applause. Somebody shout, I got a testimony. You see, the test, God brought you through not just so that you could say, whoo, I come through. Thank you, Jesus, I came through. No, your testimony is you came through so you can tell somebody else how God brought you through. Are y'all getting this today? God brought you through so that you would have a testimony. Guess what? As you give that testimony, you're going to even overcome. Alex, I just prophesy. You're going to overcome and overcome and overcome more and more and more of that battle that you've had since your army days or your childhood days. It started when he was a childhood. If you've not heard his testimony, you need to listen to it. Listen, God brought this boy through a lot of stuff, and it's not just PTSD from the military. He had a lot of child-rearing things going on. But I'm telling you, we overcome. We're overcoming. We're overcoming. We're overcoming. We're overcoming. By the blood of the Lamb and our testimony that you gave this morning. Amen. Your testimony is what makes you valuable to the kingdom of God. It's your testimony that makes you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Your testimony is afraid. The devil's afraid that you're going to rise up and give your testimony. And I said a moment ago, we get afraid to give our testimony. Number one, because we don't want to be transparent because there's too many judges in the church. And number two, we don't want to give our testimony because we're afraid the devil will take it and multiply it and cause it to come back hundredfold. Your testimony is a threat to hell. Write that down. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Your testimony is a threat to hell. It's not what you came through that makes you a threat to hell. I'm saying it again. It's not what you came through that makes you a threat. It's the testimony that makes you a threat. Because you're testifying about the goodness of God, not how... Oh, I came through that, man. I was strong in the faith, and I didn't falter. I came through with flying colors, without the smell of smoke. Listen, you didn't do anything. Can I hear that? Can I hear that amen one more time? You didn't do anything. God brought you through. Ooh, this is good, 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 good. You say, Pastor, why are you always bragging on your preaching? Because it's good. If I didn't think it was good, I'd just quit. How many knows I've come too far to quit? Your personal victory benefits no one except yourself until you testify. You see, I never get tired of hearing Darlene's testimony on Mother's Day. And all of you know now that every Mother's Day you're going to hear her testimony. And some of you probably say, oh, here we go again. I can quote it word for word. I might as well just get a mic and stand next to her and say it with her because I've heard it so many times. Listen, we don't ever get tired of hearing what God brought us through. God brought you through hell and you're still standing. God brought you through the furnace and you don't even smell like smoke. God's done a lot for us. Amen. Some of you, I'm getting ahead of myself. Somebody pray for me. Somebody pray for me. Your testimony is a lifeline to somebody that's looking for God to help them help them get through what they need to get through. And your testimony is proof that God is no respecter of persons. You're not the only one he's healed. You're not the only one he's delivered. You're not the only one that's come off of drugs and alcohol or tobacco. You're not the only one that's been delivered. God, so listen, it's not about us. Sam, is this okay? Am I too fanatic this morning? Am I scaring the babies? Okay. It's a lifeline. It's a lifeline. Your testimony is a lifeline to other people. Amen. And so many times we've been shamed. We've been shamed into giving our life, our testimony. Now, how many knows I'm not telling you stand up here and just reveal all your dirty laundry, but you can at least tell what God's done for you. I don't need to hear how wild you were, you know. I don't want to hear how wild you were. I want to hear, you know, God brought you through some junk. Amen. Now, when I say be transparent, I'm talking about, you know, like I said, I was ashamed. I was ashamed because I had a successful home. I had a successful family. I had a successful church. We ran probably twice as many or three times as many as we have today. But then the divorce came. I got served with papers. I didn't expect that never. But you know what? It didn't take God by surprise. Do you know what? When God called me back in 1973 to preach the gospel, it didn't take him by surprise. He didn't say, oh, I didn't see that one coming. But he called me anyway. And he called you anyway. And he did what he did for you anyway. He doesn't do it because you're so perfect. Come on, you don't have it all together. Listen, there is not one of you. I know you look so spiritual this morning, but there's not one of you that's got it all together. You don't have all your ducks in a row. Somebody said, well, as soon as I get my, forget it, you're not going to get them in a row. And when you do, you end up patting yourself on the back, right? Come on, Pastor, preach it. So we've been shamed into hiding our testimony. But I want to tell you something. That's nothing but a spirit of fear. That's a spirit of fear. Well, what will they think? What will people think? Why? Surely you God couldn't forgive that. Oh, surely he can. Do you hear me? I said, surely he can. I've talked to people. No, never mind. The reason the devil shames us and tries to get us into that fear, Alex, is because he knows the power of your testimony. He knows we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. How many knows death and life is what? In the power of the what? The death and life is in the power of your tongue. I think that's Proverbs 18:21. Amen. So why do you think the devil wants to keep your mouth shut? Why do you think he wants you to be afraid to give your testimony? We're going to have a testimony service one of these days. Do you remember the box testimony that we did? We're going to do that again. We're going to do that again. The box testimony. We're going to have Okay, card. Yeah, it wasn't a box. It was a cardboard. Cardboard testimony. But your testimony will bring hope to somebody. Somebody was sharing with me their testimony recently, and I thought, dear Lord, they've been through so much, but look what God's brought them through. And I'm telling you, your testimony will bring hope. Your testimony will bring healing. Your testimony will bring somebody to a higher level in trusting God, because a testimony means, here's the word testimony, means to do it again. To do it again. So when I testify to Dwayne, man, you know what? I came through this, and what I'm saying is, you know, God will do it again. And if God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll do it for you. Right. Amen. Look at your neighbor. I didn't say it. It was a Wednesday night. It wasn't on the air. Look at your neighbor. Come on. Don't look at your spouse. Look at somebody else. Don't look at your spouse. Look at the mouse next to you, okay? And say, I have a testimony. It's my testimony. I didn't borrow it from somebody else. I'm not trying to copy anybody else. It's my testimony. It's my very own. Listen, folks, it was my pain. It was my heartache. It was my journey. It was my trip. It was my loss. I was in the fire, and it was real. But God brought me through. It's my testimony. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Look what the Lord has done for me. There was times I felt like I was going to lose my mind. There was times I felt so unworthy and so unclean. I felt like I was going to die. I felt so unworthy. But it's my testimony. Now, there are times, Carl, that we can share somebody else's testimony, and it'll help somebody else. But don't just share them at their testimony at the expense of not sharing your testimony. Everybody. Becky, you've got a testimony. 30 days in the hospital? No. 3.5 months in the hospital. 110 days in the hospital. Unconscious. Or no, what would they call it? Coma. Yeah. In a coma. They didn't know if she would ever wake up or not. But look who's here today with pink hair. Come on. Throw it together for Becky. Yeah. Come on, church. Get with me this morning. Come on. Stop looking around. Look. Get with me this morning. This is good stuff. You can't get this on YouTube, folks. Becky, say it out loud. I made it. Say the attack didn't kill me. God is our healer. The snake bite did not kill me. The fire did not burn me. The tornado didn't take me out. Hallelujah. The sickness didn't kill me. That car wreck didn't kill me. Darlene was in a car wreck before we got married, and she went through the windshield, and that's what's wrong with her, folks. Her head went through the windshield, and she got a revelation. That glass is hard. But she did. She went through, not her whole body, just her head. Can you imagine her head sticking through a window? You know, that's not a pretty picture. But you know what? Look at her. There's not a scar. There's not a thing wrong with her. And nothing that makeup can't cover. Come on, shout amen. Listen, forgive me, Lord. I've walked through the valley of shadow of death. You've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through. And I'm walking through it right now, they say. The divorce did not kill me. You hear me? That attack last night did not kill you. You made it through, ladies and gentlemen. That drug overdose didn't kill you. That car accident. We had an accident right out here yesterday. A 16-year-old girl ejected from a car and took her life instantly. She was trying to avoid the tire. What? Spike strip. She was trying to avoid them and ran off the road and was killed instantly. Now listen, folks. We're here. We survived. I have a testimony. Terry, T-boned. Just a few days ago, turned your car over. 3 days ago, right, I guess? Huh? Friday, 2 days ago. Turned her car over. They had to drag her out through the sunroof. And she's here. Thank you. You can help me preach today. And she's here today. I saw one little scratch on her neck. I'm telling you what. We've got a testimony. Well, let's don't go around bragging about what the devil's done to us. The devil just hit my car. The devil just turned me over. The devil just sent me to. Let's talk about how good God is. Look at me. I'm still standing today. The doctors told me a few months ago that I've got cancer. And you know what? That didn't trouble me at all. That didn't bother me. I've never told this public, but I'll just go ahead and be vulnerable. Give a testimony, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And he said, well, you got, what do you want to do? You want to do chemo? You want to do radiation? Or do you want me to just cut it out? Or what do you want me to do? I said, nothing. I'm okay. I'm going to trust God in this. I'll check back in another year and have another test. And I did. And I'll check back next year and have another test. But you know what? I'm not worried. I'm not losing any sleep. I haven't got my will in order. Come on, church. Come on, somebody say praise God. My ministry was attacked. More than once, this ministry was attacked. But we're still standing. They said we would never make it. They said we're a cult. They said that, give place to the enemy because we speak in tongues, and that's all of the devil, you know. So, my character's been attacked. Our finances have been attacked. But you know what? We're still here. We're still standing. Can you shout amen today? I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. I've walked through the fiery furnace. I went through the deep waters. I heard the devil say, we're going to kill you. I looked out my kitchen window one time, and I saw demons playing in the front yard. These were ugly, ugly characters. And they were just dancing all around. And just they just thought that house and me was gonna die and gonna just give it all up and just burn in hell. And I tell you what, I said, no, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind you. You get out of my life, you get out of my home, you get off my property. This is God's property. Listen, church, you need to be bold. Don't fall apart every time you see a stinking little hairy demon. It's only a fallen angel. They don't have any power anyway. Anybody got a testimony? Is this helping anybody today? Or am I just encouraging myself in the Lord? Well, thank you for that imaginary applause. I'll receive it. I felt it. Amen. You shouldn't have survived that drug overdose. You lost your house, your car, your money. You should have lost your mind. Are you hearing me? Others went through a lot less and didn't make it, but you're still here. Others went through a lot less, and they're locked up in an institution somewhere. You know what the doctor told Darlene back in 1984, 83? You know what they told her? She was having a nervous breakdown. She was in the hospital. And you know what they were getting ready to do? They were getting ready to say, we're sending you. Back then, we had a psychiatric hospital here in Farmington. Some of you may not remember that. Some of you may remember it. But they said, we're going to send you to Farmington. Now, that wasn't for vacation, right? We're sending if you don't straighten up and you don't get control of this, we are sending you to Farmington. You will be admitted. We all knew she was kind of nuts, didn't we, anyway, huh? Well, we've all known that for a while, right? I love you, honey. And I have to be with you and five other ladies for a week. So what I'm doing this morning is I'm getting all that out of my system because, you know what? I'm going to have so much estrogen around me for the next week. It's going to be tough. Listen, aren't you glad I'm human? I don't dress my sermons up to make them appealing. I just tell it like it is. And I know I embarrass one or two people, but that's okay. But little did the doctors know that God already had a plan for her to come to Farmington. Because in June or July of 1984, we packed her bags and moved her to Farmington to my house. Are you hearing me? The devil had one plan to send her to Farmington, but God had another plan to send her to Farmington. And instead of this asylum down the street here, she came to this crazy, crazy solid rock church. Are y'all happy this morning? You shouldn't have made it. Amen. I hope I'm talking to somebody this morning. You know what? You didn't deserve to get the job that you've got. You don't deserve to be where you're at today. You don't deserve to be making the kind of money you're making today. In fact, by some people's standards, you should probably be dependent upon the government for your support because of the way you were raised. But look what God's done. He's raised you up. God has promoted you. God has lifted you up. You shouldn't have got that position. You shouldn't have got that raise because others were more qualified. But God. What a testimony we need to be shouting from the housetop. Amen. Anybody got a but God testimony? But God. I should not be here, but God. I should be 6 foot under, but God. I should be locked away somewhere in an institution, but God. Anybody got a but God testimony? Come on, church. Anybody got a but God testimony? Hallelujah. I should be dead, but God. God healed me. Amen. God promoted me. God protected me. God anointed me. I've got a but God testimony. Those three Hebrew children, they came out of that fiery furnace without the smell of smoke. But you know what? That miracle was not just so that the three of them would feel good on the way out of the furnace. You hear me? Because had that been the case, it would have been a one-time thing. It would have been just for them. And it would have been for nobody else, but they came out because there was a testimony in the making. Did you hear me? There was a testimony in the making that people like you and you and you and me would read thousands of years later, hundreds of years later, and realize if God can do it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He can certainly do it for all of us. Amen. So, what you've come through is not just for your benefit. It's not just so that you can, Woo, it feels good to feel good again. It feels good not to be in the hospital. It feels so good to have no pain. No, God's bringing you through so that you will have a testimony. Help others. Amen. All right, let's rush through this here now. You see, their testimony is still bringing hope to the hopeless. It's still bringing strength to the weak. It's still bringing deliverance to those that are oppressed and bound. Amen. We overcome how? Number one, we overcome by the, come on, help me, church. Blood of the Lamb. And what? The word of our testimony. I prophesy that there's going to be people delivered because of your personal testimony. Greater than that is I believe that people are going to come to know Jesus because of your personal testimony. People are going to hear about the love of God, the goodness of God. Somebody said, "Why is that all you guys talk about? It's the goodness of God. You guys never talk about the meanness of God." I can't find any meanness in my Father God. God is love. So I'm going to teach God is love. I'm going to teach that He's a good God. And God's got good things planned for you. Why? So that I can share with the world the love of God, the goodness of God, the generosity of God, and lead them to repentance. You'll never win anybody to God by telling them you're going to die and go to hell and burn for eternity. Ain't nobody coming to Jesus because you tell them that. But my Bible says the goodness of God does what? Leads men to repentance. Are you following me this morning? Brother Orge, we want to hear some of those fire and brimstone messages about how God's going to send everybody to hell if they don't repent. God's not willing that any should go to hell. Why would I preach the unwill of God? Is that the right way to say it? Why should I preach something that's not the will of God? It's not God's will that anybody go to hell. But I will preach, God loves you. I will tell you, if you don't repent, you can light your cigarettes in hell. Wasn't that funny? No wonder the devil's trying to kill us, because our testimony is going to deliver somebody. Our testimony is going to get somebody born again. Your testimony as a witness in a courtroom can help sway the evidence towards somebody going to jail or being set free. Hello? We are witnesses in the kingdom of God with a testimony that we're going to share that, hey, guess what? God wants to set you free. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bring you freedom. God wants to help you over that hurt and that hang up that you're struggling with. Somebody's thinking about quitting on life. I've got a testimony for you. Somebody's thinking about leaving your marriage and leaving your family. Hey, I've got a testimony for you. The devil wants to shut you up, but God wants you to open your mouth. Amen. The devil wants to kill your testimony, but God wants to give you life and testify that God will do it for others as well. Amen. So let's do this. Instead of murmuring all the time, do you have any idea how much we have to listen to sometimes of the murmuring and the complaining and sometimes you purposely avoid shaking hands with people in church because you know all you're going to get is an organ recital. Oh, my lungs hurt. Oh, my heart hurts. Oh, my hip hurts. Oh, my knee hurts. And you get an organ recital. But listen, sometimes you don't want to be around those because you know, no matter what you say, it's not going to help them. Instead of murmuring and complaining about what you're going through, what the devil's been doing. One lady stood up in church one Sunday night and testified, and she says, "Oh, the devil's been chasing me all day long. Praise his holy name." You'll get that next week. Stop complaining about what we don't have. Start rejoicing in what we do have. You may not live in a $1 million home. You may live in a double wide. Thank God for what you've got. Amen. Don't complain about what you've got. Thank God for what you've got. I'm trying to help you this morning, church. I'm trying to help you. Thank God for what you do have. And see if he doesn't open up the blessings and cause you to be blessed with even more as we stop grumbling and complaining and what I don't see coming to pass and why God's not answering my prayer. You ought to be saying, thank you, devil, for giving me something to work with. Huh? All right. Psalms chapter 9. I'm going to read this. Blake, let's skip the first one, and let's read the message. This kind of reminds me of Alex this morning. Psalms 9 in the message. God, I've been kicked around long enough. Pull me back from the gates of death. I'll write the book on hallelujahs. On the corner of Main and First, I'll hold a street meeting. I'll be the song leader. We'll fill the air with songs of salvation. That must not have touched you like it did me. When I read that, I thought, well, now here's a guy that could be complaining and crying and belly aching. I've been kicked around long enough. God, it's time to start singing praises. I'm not going to be complaining and murmuring. Yeah, I've been locked up in jail and I'm in the very back of the prison. And yes, it's midnight, but I think I'm going to sing some praises to God. It's the darkest hour of the night. I can't see anything. I can't even see Silas standing next to me. But I think we're going to have a praise service. Let's praise the Lord. I thank you, God, for what you've brought me through. I just want to prophesy to you this morning. My message this morning is a prophetic word. It's not just something to make you laugh or to make you feel good. It's a prophetic word that's going to change our community. God's going to turn some things around for you. God, you know what? God's going to make the devil's plans backfire, just like he did in the Charlie Kirk incident. There's going to be things backfire right in his faith. Amen. Just hold on. Don't let go. Keep a testimony on your lips. Keep the word of God coming out your mouth. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. In 1964, Sam Cooke sang a song that I've been listening to since 1964. And I still like it. And it's called... I called it, There's a Change Coming. I was born by the river in a little tent. Anybody know this song? You want to sing it with me? Okay. And just like that river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change is going to come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. There's been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on because there's a change coming. Go home and listen to that today. Pull it up on iTunes. There's a change coming. We're in the middle of a change right now. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. We need to know this. I think I wrote this down for you. There's not going to be any miracles without a problem. You'll never have a miracle without a problem. You'll never have a victory without a battle. You'll never have a crown without a cross. You see, everybody wants a crown and everybody wants the victory and everybody wants to be walking on cloud nine, but nobody wants... You can't have a testimony without a test. Okay. There will be no resurrection without a death. You put a living seed in the ground, you trample on it, you stomp that thing in the ground. It's got all the weight of the dirt on it. But nothing can stop that seed from popping up out of the ground and bringing forth a beautiful flower if you take care of it. Can I hear a better amen? Amen. Is anybody listening this morning? Yeah, some of you are going through the fire right now. But guess what? The key word is through. I'm going through the fire. Maybe you're in the biggest fight for your life right now. You might even be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But listen, we're going through it. Your mind may be going tilt. Your marriage may be going tilt. Your children may be way out there somewhere that you don't know where they got that, where they come up with that kind of philosophy. But listen, you just keep on walking, keep on believing God, keep on trusting God. Yeah, your family's under attack, your marriage is under attack, your ministry is under attack. Seems like all hell has been unleashed against you. But listen, there's change coming. Sam Cooke said so. And so did God. You're going over. Everybody say, I'm not going under. I'm going over. I'm going over with victory. All right, I'm going to skip that page. I'm going to skip that page. And, here's another one here. We had a but God praise. We need to have a going through it praise. Remember when the children of Israel, those leaders, took those stones and they set them up as a memorial, and then they set them up on the other side at the camp where they were at, and the kids come by and say, hey, what's that all about there? What's that? What's those stones up there for? It's a, but we made it through. We made it through testimony. Anybody got a, I've made it through testimony? I'm not even bothered by that junk anymore. I made it through then. I've done, that is history in my life. I don't deal with that anymore. Anybody got a, I'm going through praise. Yeah, I'm going through sickness, but God. Huh? I'm going to praise him anyway. You know what we need, Dwayne? We need some people that will praise him anyway. We need a church that's going to praise him anyway. That baby's praising the Lord right now. Can you hear him? You thought that's crying. That's praising. He's praising the Lord. I'm going through. Yeah, I'm going through divorce, but I'm going to praise God anyhow. She's going to take my home. She's going to take my retirement. She's going to take everything I got, but I'm going to praise God anyway. I didn't hear too many hands go up on that one. Yes, I'm going through financial problems. Yes, they're going to foreclose on my house, but I'm going to praise him anyway. You see, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Somebody says, how can you praise God? Because the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Doesn't say because of all things, but in the middle of all things, praise him. Is this okay? All right. Thank you for staying with me just a few more minutes. I may be going through. My kids, they're driving me nuts. They're getting further and further and further out there. They went to college and university, and I don't know where they're getting all their teaching and training from, but that's not what we taught them at home. What's going on? Listen, you're going through. You're going through. You just remain faithful. You keep praying and interceding for them. You keep calling them back home. You keep calling them back to their roots and see what God can do. Amen? You ever have to give God a midnight praise? Anybody ever give God a midnight praise? Amen. I want the worship team to come up here, and as they're coming and getting ready to play, I want you to turn to Job chapter 9 and verse 11. Job chapter 9 and verse 11. You don't have to watch them. It's the same people that get up every Sunday. They're going to go to the same instruments. And if you'll quit drawing attention to yourself, we can move on with this service. Go play the drums. Love you, Boom. I have to say love you or something could be. Did we read that verse? Okay, let's look at this. Yet when he comes, no. Is this verse 11? He goes by me. Maybe I'm looking at verse 10. He goes by me. And I see him not. Yeah, there we go. He passes also, but I perceive him not. What I see in that verse of scripture, Steve, is not that God's not there. It tells me that God is there, I just can't see him. God is always there in your trial, in your mountain experience. God is in your valley experience. God is always there. Sometimes we don't see him. Sometimes we don't perceive him. I go forward, he's not there. I go backwards, he's not there. I can't perceive him. Let's look at Job 23. Oh, that is, you jumped me. You jumped the gun on me. Job 23. I go forward, but he's not there. I go backward, and I can't perceive him. On the left hand, where he works, notice, I can't see him. But he's working on the left hand. I can't behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Instead of capitalizing on the I can't see him, I can't perceive him, I can't feel him, When, God, are you going to come through for me? Just realize He is there. He is there. He's not going to forsake you. He is there. He's working on the left hand. He's working on the right hand. He's working. I can't see what He's doing, but I know, Brother Sue, that He's working. I know He's working. Okay, stand to your feet. I want to tell you this morning, stay with me just a couple more minutes, 10 more minutes at the most. God is working. God is working. Brother Fink, when you lost your job out there in Belgrade, Bellevue. When you lost your job out there, it was probably hard to see, God, what is next? I've been doing this all my life. This is all I know. But you know what? As he was going through that valley, you know what he told me? I'm not worried about a thing. He said, I'm not going to worry about it. God's got this. And God opened up another door for him. God's got it. Shout it. God's got this. You may not see him working on the right hand. You may not see him working on the left hand. You might turn around and say, he's not there. But he is working. Come on, church. Shout, he's working. Thank God I made it. I've got a thank God I made it testimony. Alex, you've got a I thank God I made it testimony. Darlene and I, we've been through so much in our marriage, but honey, thank God we made it. And God just began to bless more and more and more. And who would have thought years and years later that we'd be doing these trips overseas to bless other people? You know what we do when we go over there? We share our testimony. Sometimes people look at Americans and say, oh, they don't have any financial problems. They've got big houses and big cars, and they've got all fancy stuff. You know, those Americans, they're just rich and snooty. But you know what? We go over there and tell them our testimony, what we've been through. And the first time Darlene gave her testimony, she was a little bit frightened because she didn't know if she was going to be rejected because of the culture in the Republic of Georgia. But she shared her testimony. You know what? You wouldn't believe the women and the girls that came up to her later and said, you know what? I was in the same boat. I was abused when I was a teenager. I was molested when I was a child. My husband left me. He was a drunkard. And we hear the same testimonies over there. But they would have never opened up to God's healing had she not been brave enough to share her testimony. Amen? Everybody say, I thank God. I've got a I thank God testimony. I thank God I'm still standing testimony. Thank God I made it testimony. Psalms 40. Do we have that one? Psalms 40, Passion Translation. I waited and waited and waited patiently, knowing God would come through. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word of God I'm reading. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of the danger of the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I had fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walked along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Well, sometimes you just need to let a song rise up out of you. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth. Some of you need, oh, come on, church. Some of us need an ecstatic praise coming out of our mouth. We've been quiet too long. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Shout, I've got a testimony. Many will see his miracles. Why? Because I gave them my testimony of what God has done for me. Many will see his miracles. They will stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was in a horrible pit. I was down sinking in the miry clay. It looked like I would never be happy again. It looked like the devil had won. But God reached down and he picked me up out of that horrible pit. Just like the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. They had stones in their hand ready to stone her. The Bible says Jesus reached down. He's still reaching down. I don't care what you've done, how far you've gone, and how far away from God you are. He still wants to reach down and pick us up. He wants to pick us up this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just wondering real quickly. If you're in this house today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, today's your day of salvation. Don't put it off another minute. Don't put it off another second. Today's your day. How about coming to Jesus this morning? How about making this the day of salvation? Is that you this morning? Let me see your hand if that's you. Hold your hand up real high. Thank you. Thank you. God wants to bring your joy back to you. God wants to restore your peace. God wants to give you a testimony. Could I pray with you this morning? Would you let us pray with you today? Are you serious about making a change to Jesus Christ? Come on, let me pray for you. Come on, Dara, get ready to pray. Christy, get ready to pray for this lady. Today's her day of victory. Today's her day of salvation. Step out. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in this house today. We thank you, Lord, that the encouragement to turn it all loose and to let you take care of us. Lord, we just let it go. We let it go today. We need to let it go today. Listen, somebody here today needs to open your mouth and testify. You need to make a declaration today and say, I will share my testimony with someone this week. I will share my testimony with one person this week. I'm telling you, God's greater than cancer. God's greater than comas. God's greater than neck and back breaks. God's greater than car accidents. God is greater than heart trouble. God is greater than sugar diabetes. God is greater. And I know some of you got surgery scheduled. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to be right there with you throughout the whole thing. God's greater than arthritis. Arthritis has no hold on me, Brother Arthur. Get out of here. You're not going to. God's greater than high blood pressure. I will testify. I'll give you a testimony. Since I've lost 40 pounds, I have no more blood pressure medicine that I take. Wait a minute. I was taking blood pressure pills 2 times a day. Am I telling the truth? 2 times a day, I was taking blood pressure medicine. It was barely under control. But I told both my docs the other day, I said, I've totally stopped taking my blood pressure medicine. They didn't rebuke me. They said, well, thank you, Jesus. It's good to have Christian doctors, isn't it? Listen, God is greater than blood pressure medicine. Now, some of you want to eat like a cultured hog and ask God to keep you healed, but it doesn't work that way. You got to do something yourself. Come on. Have I made anybody mad yet? Give me 5 more minutes and I'll see if I can make you mad. Don't take much these days to make people mad, does it? God's greater than divorce. God's greater than homosexuality. God's greater than perversion. God's greater than drug addiction. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Shout it out one more time. I've got a testimony. I was sick, but God healed me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was bound by drugs and alcohol, but Jesus set me free. I was obsessed and oppressed with a spirit of fear, but God set me free. I was sinking in a debt of finances, but God has lifted me out. I'm about to be totally set free. How about this one? I was about to lose my marriage, but God restored and healed it. Come on, church. Let's sing this song. Lift your voice. Come on, let's sing. Come on, put your hands together.
Wandering into the night.
You've got a testimony.
Wanting a place to hide, yes, this weary soul.